Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms to begin with Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Then looking at Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then one more passage here. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, once again, thank you for the powerful and the wonderful and the blessed gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to spend time with you one-on-one every day as we simply open your word, and you take the time to give us that daily appointment where we get a chance to spend time in your presence, receiving of your wisdom, your grace, your power, and your love, and your mercy that pours into our lives through your word. With every passing day, more and more, Father, help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word, and help us to be wise enough to live in the power, the grace, and the wisdom of your word throughout our day, daily, as a lifestyle. And help us to be not only wise enough to do that, but help us to teach and train our children to do the same, and help us to encourage others to do the same as well. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
God, we're so thankful that we can come before you today, that we can boldly approach your throne. We thank you for your precious Son, Jesus, who died a terrible death on the cross for sinners like us. How merciful you are to us. Father, we pray for this program today that you will use it in a mighty way, that as your word and your thoughts go forth from Joseph, that people will hear those, they will receive them, and that they will apply them to their lives. And we need your Holy Spirit to be the guide for Joseph, for the program, for the listeners today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Continual reminder, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we continue to remind you, please do email us to get some of the prayer tools and the prayer and discipleship tools that we provide. Our goal is that you'll take them and use them in your personal life, that you'll use them also for the discipleship of your family, but also that you'll in turn use them to pass on to family and friends and loved ones, because again, this is one of the ways that we get to partner to help be involved in the work of making disciples. These are serious discipleship tools and prayer tools that will help. And the reality is every believer needs help and strengthening in their prayer life. Every believer can use help in their discipleship, their walk with the Lord. So hope that you certainly will take the time to do just that. Today we're looking specifically at a topic that we're focusing on, the topic, a king and his sword. A king and his sword. And as we begin reading here, I want to invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Samuel, and we'll be looking largely at truths we can learn from the life of King David, a powerful man in the Word of God. And, you know, interesting to note, too, David is a towering figure in all of the Word of God. And he's a major figure, not a perfect man, made some pretty serious mistakes in his life. But the reality is, all of us have made mistakes in our lives. But God wants us to be men and women after his own heart. And David, amongst other things, certainly was a man after God's own heart. So there are many important truths we can learn from his life. So we invite you to look with us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons passed before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Verses 1 through 13, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Well, here we have a very interesting and a very powerful story in all of the Word of God, where God has basically rejected Saul from being king. Saul was king of Israel, but Saul had an inadequate heart. His heart was not fully following after God. And so God decided he was going to get a king who was a man after his own heart. And so though Saul was still serving in the position as king, God sent Samuel to anoint a new king to be king of Israel. And so Samuel went when in secret, of course, he didn't proclaim what he was doing, because, of course, the reality is that he suspected that would arouse Saul's anger very quickly. Well, and so Samuel goes to anoint a king from amongst, and God has let Samuel know it will be one of the sons of Jesse of Bethlehem. So Saul goes there to select a king, and so Jesse has gathered seven of his sons before him, before Samuel. And so Samuel sees the first son, and he sees him, and he's thinking to himself, my goodness, this guy looks like a king. Surely this has got to be him. But the Lord lets Samuel know, don't look at his outward appearance or his physical stature. He's not the one. And so Samuel looks at the second son. That's not the son either, Abinadab. And the third son, Shema, and God lets him know he's not him either. And seven sons of Jesse's sons pass before Samuel, and God lets him know none of these are the right one. And so if you can picture Samuel there, maybe kind of scratching his head saying, well, Lord, I thought you said that it was going to be one of Jesse's sons. And he asks Jesse, well, is this all your sons? And note what happens. Interesting how that apparently, for whatever reason, Jesse didn't even choose to call his youngest son David. David was keeping the sheep. And again, notice he has gathered all of his sons except the youngest. And why would that be true? Well, it appears that for whatever reason, Jesse just thought, surely David couldn't be a king. He's my youngest son, and he keeps sheep, and he does this and that. But surely it couldn't be David. Jesse doesn't even call David. But Samuel recognizes none of these seven sons that Jesse has brought before him are the king. And so Samuel asks him, are these all your boys? And he says, there's one more, and he's keeping the sheep. And so what happens here, of course, he calls him. Jesse calls David, and David comes. And interesting what scripture says. It says the scripture's description of David is, now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And God's response to Samuel is, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. And then, of course, it tells us then that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Well, so David has been anointed the new king of Israel, even though there's still a sitting king on the throne. But the anointing to be king is there. So notice then, in this setting, what has happened is, though Jesse and his family saw David as a shepherd boy and their little brother, God saw in David a king. And God recognized a king in David even before he was anointed king. God had called him to be a king, and he ended up being one of the, next to Jesus, the greatest king Israel ever had. And so keep in mind, in the book of Revelation that we'll look at in just a few minutes, we find out that God has called all of his children to be a kingdom of kings and priests. And though the world may look at us and not see much, the fact is God sees kings in each of us, and he sees priests in each of us who can faithfully serve him as warrior kings and faithful servants who love the Lord, who follow the Lord, and are mightily used to the Lord. And we'll be talking about specifically a king and his sword. We'll learn how that David was a skillful warrior, and he knew how to take his sword and use it skillfully to defeat the enemy. And God wants us to learn to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and use it skillfully to learn how to walk in victory in life today and every day. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit that would cause us to grow in our understanding of how to take your word and use it skillfully every single day. More and more open our eyes and our understanding to the powerful weapon, the powerful gift, the powerful tool your word is, and help us more and more to use it in all the ways you'd have us to use it every day. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at the topic today, a king and a sword. We'll be right back.
I put my hope in.
Planet Shakers with Only Way. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of King and His Sword. And in part, we're looking at the life of King David and important spiritual truths we can draw from the life of King David, but also truths that will help us as believers to learn how to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Looking with me now, in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, I want to share this scripture, and I want you to keep in mind that these are truths that, again, you know, when we think of, for example, the story of King David, his is a powerful story, but remember, we don't look at the life of David just for the sake of learning history and Christian history, but we're to take it and learn truths that we can take and apply to our lives every single day. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, it says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Again, verses 4 through 6, Revelation chapter 1. So keep in mind, a very important truth for every believer to remember is that even though sometimes the world may look down on you or me for different reasons, they may think, well, he's not too much, she's not too much. We may not look overly impressive on the outside. But the fact is, once we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we can know that God has called us to be kings and priests in his kingdom, to do the work of the kingdom, to carry ourselves as kings in the world, and specifically as warrior kings, kings who know how to skillfully go forward, conquering the kingdom of darkness and tearing it down, and priests who know how to walk in close fellowship with God, who move in the power of the Holy Spirit, and who move with lives full of prayer. We're called to be a kingdom of kings and priests, every believer in all the world. So our job is to seek to become highly skilled at walking out the calling of a king and a priest in close fellowship relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So looking once again at David, we find in, you know, well, let me mention before I read specifically from 1 Samuel chapter 17, but in all of Scripture, probably one of, if not the most favorite Scripture in all of the Word of God, all over the world, it may very well be the 23rd Psalm. Well, King David, God, the Spirit of God moved upon David to write Psalm 23. Psalm 23 tells us these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." All of Psalm 23. Now allow me to share with you an exercise I want to challenge and encourage every single listener to begin to do every single day. Number one, memorize Psalm 23 if you haven't already. Make it your goal to memorize it. But then make it your goal every single day. I would encourage you to do something along this line, basically. Lord, I thank you for Psalm 23, and I'm standing on the promises in this psalm. And as I speak the words of this psalm, as I speak them back to you, Lord, I'm standing on them, and I'm believing you, Lord, that you will carry these out, every one, every promise in this psalm. I'm believing you to carry this psalm out in my life, and thank you. And then go through the psalm word by word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, word for word. Why? This is one of the ways whereby you wield your sword. Remember, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and one of the ways you use the sword of the Spirit is not only you read it, but also you speak it out loud. There's something very important about speaking the Word of God and speaking the promises of God. It releases the grace and the power of God when you speak the Word. And as you speak and stand on the Word, the grace of God brings the manifestation of that truth to come to pass in your life. So speaking the promises of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a way to bring about victory, spiritual victory in spiritual battle. Every day, like it or not, we're dealing with spiritual warfare. But one of the ways to walk in victory is to speak the powerful word of God. So memorize Psalm 23 if you haven't already. Speak Psalm 23 several times a day, reminding God that you're standing on the promises found in this psalm, and it will work powerfully on your behalf as a believer. Now, some believers may say something along this line that, well, you know, I've never made it a habit of speaking God's word over my life or in my life or out loud to myself. I just have never done that much. Well, today is a good day to start because it's one of the great ways to put God's word to work as the sword of the Spirit in your life. And you need to use it because, amongst other things, when you speak the word of God, it beats back the enemy. It whips the enemy out of a situation, out of the atmosphere of a circumstance you're dealing with. So speaking the word of God is a very important battle strategy for all believers everywhere. So I would encourage you to do just that. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see where, again, David sees great victory as he is trusting God and following God and putting his faith to work. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, picking up specifically at verse 20, it tells us these words. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the enemy was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king shall enrich with great riches. We'll give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done? What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will take you, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shea-Araim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." That was verses 20 through 58, 1 Samuel chapter 17. So a powerful story, and one of the best known stories in all of the Word of God, the story of how David defeated Goliath. And notice what happens. David used his sling and a stone. Only one stone wounded the giant Goliath. Goliath fell. But then David took Goliath's own sword and cut off his head and altogether killed the giant there. He used the sword to defeat Goliath, to finish him off. And you know, we too have a sword called the Word of God. That's our sword. And it's a powerful weapon whereby, as we learn to take it and use it, we become highly skilled warriors and warrior kings in the army of God as we learn to take the sword of the Spirit and use it. There's 7 ways, wonderful ways for us to use God's Word every day. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. All of them are related, none are quite the same thing, and we're to use His Word wisely and skillfully every day. Lord, anoint us afresh with the wisdom and grace to use Your Word wisely and skillfully every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking today at the topic, a king and his sword. We'll be right back.
You're calling me over. You're pulling me close. With love you surround me. You give me hope. Yeah, yeah, hey. You're taking me deeper. You're making me whole. With grace you redeem me, yeah. You restore my soul. Now I'm made new because
of Lincoln Brewster, Made New. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, A King and His Sword. And an important truth for us as believers to keep in mind is that, as Revelation chapter 1 tells us, every believer is called to be a king and a priest in the kingdom of God. And so God wants us to grow spiritually and mature so that we come to know what it means to be a king and a priest in the kingdom of God. And we walk in the victory that a warrior king does, who knows how to go out as a conquering king in the will and the work of the kingdom of God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, it tells us these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. How important it is that we as believers grow to where we learn to become skillful warrior kings. Again, every believer, whether they realize it or not, is called to be a king and a priest in the kingdom of God. And God wants us to become highly skilled warrior kings who know how to take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and use it skillfully. Again, 7 ways to put God's word to work every day in our lives include reading it, hearing it, believing it, speaking it, praying it, obeying it, and meditating on it. Again, keep in mind, all of them are related, none are quite the same thing. You know, some believers read the word of God, which is very good, but they don't know how to speak the promises of God's word faithfully and regularly over their lives. Some believers know how to pray the word of God. For example, praying Psalm 91, that's a great thing to do. We're wise to pray the word of God every single day as well. Meditating on the word of God is mulling over it over and over again in our minds. All of these edify us when we take the time to do them. They strengthen us, they build us up in the faith, and they strengthen our faith as well. We're wise to use them in all 7 ways. Again, read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. Again, all are wise ways to put the sword of the Spirit, God's word, to work every single day of our lives. I want to share with you briefly from a chapter, from a powerful chapter, from a book by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. The book is entitled The Prayer of Jabez Devotional, and the chapter is, it's day 3 in his book, and it's called Holy Askers, and it's an example of putting the sword of the Spirit to work through praying the word of God. And specifically, he's speaking of the wisdom of both praying the prayer of Jabez every day, but just prayer period. We're called to pray according to the word of God. So again, holy askers, ask and it will be given you, ask and it will be given to you, Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. To bless means to give favor, give pleasure, bring happiness, bring success. So the man who wants, like Jabez, to be more honorable than his brothers doesn't say, "Please God, don't bless them." Instead, he prays, "Whatever you do, Lord, please bless me and bless me a lot." We've seen how much our Father longs to bless us and how completely his rich stores of favor are available to us. But to fully receive these blessings, only one thing remains. Think of it as the key to the storehouse. We must ask. I've posed a simple question to tens of thousands of people. Did you ask God to bless you today? Only about 1 in 100 says yes. We ask God to bless the food. Why don't we ask him to bless us? Many tell me, "I don't understand why I have to ask. I figure that I already received all the spiritual blessings I was going to get when I got saved. What's left to ask for?" It's true that some blessings come to us automatically. Theologically speaking, when we become a child of God, over 30 things happen in heaven. We are forgiven. We become children of God. We receive the Holy Spirit. We are granted eternal life and more. God completes these spiritual transactions at the point of salvation, and they're actual. Paul was speaking of these blessings when he told the Ephesians that they had been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. But blessings come in halves. What happens on earth for a Christian is the other half, and these are nearly all potential blessings. In other words, God wants me to want his greater blessings enough to take the initiative to ask for them, or I'll miss out. It's a golden thread that runs through Scripture, starting in Eden. God puts his best in front of us, then asks us to choose it. You don't have because you don't ask, James chided. Ask, Jesus promised, and it will be given you. It's a life-changing realization. The truly blessed life can be mine, but I have to ask. I've watched this realization sweep across hundreds of faces. I've seen anticipation, excitement, relief. To these believers, a new level of existence suddenly seems not only possible, but also realistic. But on many faces, I've seen sadness and regret. Why? These people are thinking about the wasted years. They feel that they've been cheated or misled. They suddenly grasp the fact that, as a result of their own ignorance or inaction, they've been stuck on the sidelines of God's big plans for them. How do you feel right now? Have you missed out on receiving what is rightfully yours? To get a sense of how much you've missed, simply ask yourself, during the past 30 days, how many times have I asked God specifically to bless me? Your answer should show you what proportion of divine favor you've either missed or received. Why? Because you didn't ask, you didn't receive that which comes only in response to asking. Change your life today by asking and asking again. God is scanning the planet today for holy askers. He wants to give you your larger destiny. He wants to fill the holes in your aching heart. In fact, he loves you so much that every blessing he gives is personalized to your need to be blessed in a particular place in your life. But your father won't push himself on you. Do you like people who push themselves on you? He's full of grace. He wants you to decide what you really want. In his eyes, the very act of asking moves you from run-of-the-mill to more honorable. I believe his eyes fall on you today with great delight and anticipation. It was true for Jabez. It's true for you. Asking is the prelude to a lifestyle of miracles. My Jabez Journal. What are the main reasons I don't ask God for his blessings? And then a quote from Jim Rohn. Asking is the beginning of receiving. Make sure you don't go to the ocean with a teaspoon. At least take a bucket so the kids won't laugh at you. Again, Jim Rohn. Again, that was an excerpt from the book, The Prayer of Jabez Devotional by Bruce Wilkinson, and it's the chapter entitled Holy Askers. And what a challenge. What a challenge it is for us to recognize that one of the ways we put the sword of the Spirit to work is by simply obeying what the Word of God says. In other words, hearing what God's Word says and obeying it. That's one way we wield the sword of the Spirit. God's Word is a book full of wisdom. Wisdom for every area of life. And God simply tells us to hear it and do it. And one of the ways we apply the wonderful Word of God is by doing, carrying out the wisdom God commands us to do. And one piece of wisdom, again, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. This is one of several ways that we as kings and priests in the kingdom of God can put the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to work, hear His Word, and obey His Word. Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity You give us to be wise enough to hear Your Word and obey it. And in this particular case, Lord, You give us the privilege of being able to be doers of Your Word by being holy askers, believers that know how to give ourselves to You in prayer. In fact, You told us in Your Word, You commanded us, pray without ceasing. Lord, more and more, teach us how to do that. And anoint us with a fresh anointing and empower us to be believers that live a lifestyle that do just that, that we learn better and better how to pray without ceasing. And empower us to be wise enough to do it, Lord. Help us to recognize, Lord, that today You have many blessings that You're waiting to give us right now. But our job is to ask. Help us to know, Lord, that any day that we fail to do a lot of asking, we miss out on blessings on that day. Help us to know, Lord, that You've called us to ask a lot, not just on our own behalf, not just our own behalf for our families, but You call us to be askers who ask on behalf of a world full of need. You've told us to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And help us to know, Lord, that one of the ways whereby we're good stewards of that manifold grace is by, through our prayer lives, flooding the world with Your grace. Help us to know, Lord, that this is, again, one of the wonderful ways whereby we put the sword of the Spirit to work by simply hearing and obeying Your Word. And help us to know, Lord, that more and more we become a great blessing to the world as we simply hear Your wisdom in Your Word and obey it. Thank You for that opportunity. And Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of worship, praise, and thanksgiving so that we too would also fill our lives with worship, praise, and thanksgiving as well. And Father, we thank You and praise You for the privilege of doing that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And as we finish our broadcast today, as usual, there may be someone listening who's never made the step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart. In all of life, there's nothing more important than Jesus and knowing Him and following Him. So if you're not saved, today is a good day to get saved. I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Or if you sense a need to recommit your heart to the Lord, would you pray this prayer with me as well? Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me so very much that You came into this world as a man a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things that I've done. 3 days later, You rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. I've done wrong in so many ways, Lord. By faith, I repent and I turn from all those wrongs. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, in a brand new way, I open my whole heart and life to You. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person You want me to be. Lord, You told us in Your Word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on Your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with Your Spirit. Help me to live my whole life following You. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Please do email us and let us know if you prayed that prayer and committed your heart to the Lord for the first time or as a rededication prayer. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to send you some materials to strengthen you and help you in your walk, your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening. Again, the same email is for if you'd like to receive some of the prayer tools and discipleship tools we provide. We're glad to share them with you. Again, jparker@afa.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.